Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are looking at some of the activity on the local stock exchange, that is the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It's said to be Africa's biggest stock exchange, and we are joined by Leila Fourie, who is the group CEO of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, just to get a sense of what business is looking like at the moment, maybe getting some idea just around the deal flow is looking like on the local exchange. There's been a number of delistings of late. At the same time, we do see new companies coming to the exchange. You know, what is actually going on in the investment arena? You know, and what is the exchange actually doing to make sure that it's, you know, stays on top of its game, especially as one of the premier emerging market stock exchanges in the world. So, Leila, greetings to you today.
Hi, Mediwe. Lovely to chat to you, and thank you for having me on your show.
Now, thank you so much, for making time to being, with us behind the scenes. It's something that's been, a long time in the works. So we're really glad that, we are doing this. Usually we, as a point of departure in our discussions, we try to get a sense of the organizations, but, the JSC is such a big force in the market. That it wouldn't be fair to really ask, what the JSC is or does. But rather, I'm just going to ask, just a point of curiosity that I've always had, because sometimes when you do just some research around the JSC and what they do, it sometimes comes up as the official website comes up as the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. But you do see in some instances, it's referred to as the Johannesburg Securities Exchange. Are these just semantics? Is there a difference, should we, be Googling differently out here?
Well, really, the exchange is a marketplace for multiple different markets. Now, typically, you'd use the word stocks for the equity market, but you have a number of other instruments that also get traded on the exchange. So we are the 18th largest exchange in the world by market cap. And that's really reflects the sophistication of the financial markets, especially when you consider that we are 33rd largest by GDP. And we trade equity markets, cash equity markets, and we trade a number of derivatives markets, such as financial derivatives, interest rate derivatives, commodities derivatives, and FX. And then we also trade the bond market. And we provide a capital formation enabler. So companies are able to list and then they're able to trade in the secondary market. So primary market is the listing space and secondary is where traders and investors would actually invest and trade in and out of shares. So the exchange is a really well diversified environment. And typically during a cycle, when the equity market is down, you'll see the bond market rallying. And that's one of the really defining features of the South African market and particularly the JSC is our high level of diversification across different market instruments.
So, a range of securities just from, what you're saying, a range of different products that are there and also a balance, between some of the fixed income products as well as, some of the equities that are being traded, on the exchange. And on that, I think you've already started giving us, some numbers, some statistics around the place of the exchange, around the world. 18th largest, I didn't know that. And I think that's, testament to the size of the JSC. Maybe you could give us some insight just around actual performance, on the ground, by whatever metrics you're using, whether it's revenue or number of trades in a day, how is the JSC performing, at the moment? Usually we have an indicator, such as the All Share Index that we're following on a daily basis. But as someone who's actually running the exchange, how do you measure its performance and how have you seen it evolving over time?
So the exchange has actually done particularly well year to date when we compare ourselves to a normalized period. Last year, we had an extraordinary hyper-volatile period. And although we had a lot of activity on the exchange, at the depth of the crisis, we saw the market more than 33% down on prior year. Whereas as year to date, our all share is up almost 14%, 13.8%, and the top 40 is up 13%. And what's particularly exciting is that our Alt-X market, which is our small caps, are up 32%. When we look at what really drives our business model, that's volume and value traded. Our volume and value traded year to date are down on prior years. However, when you compare to the 2019 period, we're up 15% in our mid-years, in our interims at the end of June. We were up 15% on both volume and value traded. So we have seen an enormous amount of volatility off the back of what we call event-driven markets. Typically, the exchange has held up really well. So when you consider that our top 40 is up 12.9%, the FTSE 100, which is in the UK, is up 10.19% year to date. And Europe is up 16, NASDAQ's up 16, and the S&P is up 19. So you'll see that we're doing really well by comparison, and our investors have been really well protected. I think overall, from a sector perspective, the resources sector has really rallied, and that's up 16% year to date. And our financial sector is up 18% for the year, and it leads all of the other sectors, and it's reversed the trend of 2020. So the investors on the JSE have ended on a or currently are on a net positive year to date earnings situation.
Leila, perhaps with everything that you're saying, there's a quick follow-up there just around, the actual performance, because, it does sound like you said, 14% up, compared to the 10% of the FTSE, and then, the ones reaching the 20% over in the United States. Would you say then that the JSE in any way did it get to participate or benefit from, some of the global rallies that we saw last year? Because I think despite the fact that it was a depression around the world, a number of stock exchanges, particularly in the US, did see rallies, especially on technology. Did we benefit from any of that? Or would you largely say that, the local factors such as resources that you mentioned were the biggest drivers on the local exchange, over this period?
So last year during the sort of depth of the crisis, the JSE ended the year in positive territory, and that was largely off the back of tech stocks, manufacturing, and resources. This year, our resources and tech stocks have also contributed, but in addition to that, our financials have come back, and our financials were in deep red territory at the end of last year. So we don't have the same level of tech stocks, and we don't have health and stocks as the Americas do. But notwithstanding, the commodity market has counterbalanced. And we've also seen particularly an uptick in foreign flows in our bond market. So year to date, we've seen a net positive inflow of $45 billion. Whereas last year, this time, we'd seen a net outflow of $62 billion. And that signals that investors internationally are, A, starting to search for yield, and South Africa offers a very good return. And secondly, that there is an increase in the in the confidence of the country. And I think that's off the back of a number of policy reforms and economic reforms that the government has introduced recently.
And I guess with all of those different reforms that you're referring to, and investors looking for the, you know, the yield that you're talking about, what do you make of the JSE's place as a premier emerging markets exchange? I think we referred to that at the beginning to say that this has always been the biggest exchange, you know, at least in the most recent decades, the big exchange on the continent, and you know, one of the largest in the emerging markets world. You know, how would you say we are faring from that point of view?
The JSE is faring very well in comparison with the rest of Africa. Unfortunately, the JSE's relevance in global indices has contracted as a result of other countries crowding South Africa out. So, for example, in the MSCI Emerging Market Index, China has been rebalanced and adjusted to reflect a much higher percentage, and Saudi Arabia was introduced into that index over a year ago. And those two factors had a very negative downweighting effect on South Africa. And as a result of that, the flows into the country by international investors are certainly constrained. And so we are now closer to sort of 3% of the emerging market index, whereas, you know, over sort of 3-4 years ago, we were sitting at 7%. And over 10 years ago, we were closer to 14%. So we certainly have contracted. Interestingly, one of the largest asset managers in the world, BlackRock, has recently put an investment paper out into the market suggesting that they are lobbying and looking to remove China from the emerging market index. And were that to happen, there would be a fundamental rebalancing and adjustment of South Africa in the emerging market index. And that could have a fairly material impact on foreign flows into the country. But we certainly still hold our own, and we do lead the way, and we are the gateway into the African continent.
Barring, you know, some of those actions from the likes of, you know, BlackRock, you know, in the next couple of years, you know, what's your outlook on that front, at least being able to claw back, you know, some of those losses, you know, maybe getting back to closer to that 14, you know, percent range, simply because I guess the China thing it's an unknown at this point, just given what's happening, you know, on the ground right now. What do you make of the JSE's case for actually trying to claw back some of those your weightings in the exchanges?
South Africa's seen a systematic outflow of foreign investment flows into the equity market, on average 10 billion a year for the last 2.5 years. And South African stocks are also deeply undervalued relative to their actual value. Their PE ratios are 27% lower than emerging markets, and they are 50% discounted to the rest of the world. And that indicates real value. So as the crisis starts to abate and vaccinations start to create more confidence in the world, the developed market will start to look for yield. And South Africa is really well positioned to lobby for those flows. What do we need to do to attract those flows? We simply need to be better investment destinations than other emerging markets. Things like the infrastructure investment implementation needs to be accelerated. We need spades in the ground, and we need what is currently large flows of capital into the infrastructure environment. We need that translated into active projects. We need the SME sector to be reinvigorated, and we need those plans to be implemented at speed. We also need unemployment to come down. We need the fiscal cliff to be addressed, and we need GDP growth to start to translate. And the global assessment of our GDP has been increased. The IMF has uprated South Africa from 3.1% GDP growth this year to 4%. But the year after this is not, the growth outlook is simply not good enough. We have more work to do.
No, we certainly do have a lot of work to do, and especially when one thinks about some of the unemployment figures that came out last week from Stats SA. Very shocking to find that literally one in two people in the market at around, 44% of real unemployment. You know, it's a very dire situation that we do find ourselves in. But I want to just zoom in on one of the points that you've just made, Leila, and that's around the investment in infrastructure, because, recently there was some stoppages in trading, and, just talking to some of the market players, it seems to have been precipitated off of the recent share swap that was happening between two of the exchange's biggest companies, that's Naspers, and its subsidiary Prosus. And, that saw delayed trading and all of that. And in some corners of the market, you'd hear people saying that, perhaps this is evidence that the JSE doesn't have the ability to hold, such a big stock, that plays in the same league as the likes of Apple, Facebook and others. But on the other side, other market players just saying, guys, it was just a simple glitch. And, the systems at the JSE are quite robust. Maybe you can shed some light, for us just around what the actual reality is, on the ground.
Madiwe, yes, technology is in our DNA and we invest heavily in technology. We have world-class systems. During the past year, throughout the crisis, we saw many exchanges globally going down. In fact, the ASX was down for a full day in November last year, and the New Zealand Stock Exchange was down for a few days as off the back of a cyber attack. The investment into technology saw our resilience at an all-time high. So notwithstanding the fact that during the month of March, our volumes doubled, so two times the number of volumes, our systems held out very well. Unfortunately, if you do have a glitch in the systems and the volumes are at a black swan order of magnitude, it is time consuming to process. And whereas last year we did two times the volume of trades, on the particular day that we had the systems glitch, we did seven times the trade. And what was particularly unique on that day is that 60% of that trade was done in one counter. And so the back office processing stress that introduces is really material. None of our trades all settled, and we had no failed trades. And we're very grateful to the market participants for their support, for their engagement. They were absolutely fantastic. And we continue to invest in our systems, and we're actually very pleased with the quality of technology that we have. And particularly in our trading space, we run off Millennium IT, which is London Stock Exchange technology, and that quality of uptime has been remarkable, particularly during the crisis when it really mattered.
During something like that, when something like that happens, Leila, do you find it's more whatever negativity ends up sprouting because of an event like that? Is that more perception from outsiders, saying that, it's a negative event? Or do you sort of find, like what you said, it's more of the market players being understanding, to say that, guys, this is an unusual situation. There were seven times the number of trades and 60% of them were in one counter. This is not something that happens on a daily basis.
Look, we are really very grateful for market participants in the patients and the support that they showed us. Of course, there's nothing pleasant or positive about a system not working. We've all had that in our personal and corporate capacities. And the reality is when you run a large scale infrastructure, technology glitches can and do occur. And we have worked really hard to try and build up relationships with our clients and with our market participants. And we're just very grateful for the support that they showed us on the day and even afterwards in, you know, processing those trades. And I think the fact that we had no uncovered short trades and that all trades were processed and settled within the 3-day settlement cycle shows the commitment by the market and the tremendous support that we got from market participants, because there's an enormous amount of work that they have to do once a trade handshake happens to make sure that that trade settles. And market participants were absolutely fantastic in ensuring that that happened.
And, you know, I can only imagine what was happening behind the scenes on a day like that. But at least we can say that was, you know, more of a black swan event. But at the same time, there are other things that are becoming more and more of a risk and a reality. And you pointed one out around some of the exchanges being down because of cyber attacks. And that seems to be a big thing that people are concerned about. And I think in recent months and weeks, the attack on Transnet, for example, you know, that's a state-owned enterprise. But it sort of highlighted what can actually happen, you know, on the ground. We sort of have that idea of, you know, the dark hacker in the background, and that things are just happening over there. But when it's affecting our real lives, it becomes, you know, more tangible, more real. So from that point of view, maybe you can talk to us just around how, as the JSE, you guys are thinking around cybersecurity, you know, just to extend. I think you had already started alluding to it a little bit earlier on.
Modiwe, yes, cyber attacks and the prevalence of these attacks has really accelerated as the work from home and the more digital environment has increased. And cyber was always and remains a very high priority. We've set aside a very significant budget in that process, and we take it seriously. And we know that our market participants are also very focused on cyber vulnerabilities. And we're working very hard to ensure that we protect ourselves as well and as much as possible. It's constantly changing, this environment, and the vectors of threats, the threat vectors are consistently changing, and one has to keep reinventing and keep adapting to keep up with the new challenges and the new almost innovations in hacking that keep popping up. But we do have this as a very important strategic priority.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that companies, organizations, and an exchange like yours simply can't ignore. In the same way that we are getting up to go to work to do what we're doing right now, it's very scary knowing that there are others that are waking up to go to work to come up with new ways, of how to hack systems or, you know, deploy cyber attacks. But, you know, I think it's something to definitely keep watching as we move forward. But something else that is changing, you know, when it comes to the place of the JSE is, competition in the market. The JSE, you know, is largely one of those things that you just think of, you know, as being, oh, it's just the JSE and that's it. But of late, a lot of people have also been doing listings on the A2X, market. That's another exchange that's come up. What do you make, you know, of competition in the market? Is it a threat? Is it more of, you know, something that's going to help to make, I guess, more people invest? You know, how are you guys thinking about competition?
Modiwe, we take competition really seriously, and it's really forced us to up our game and sharpen our pencil. And so we very much embrace a naturally competitive environment. We have managed to retain 99% of market share. and in terms of the trading volume and values. We see competition through a much broader lens, not just looking at competitor exchanges within South Africa. We look at on-screen trading in the derivatives market, which is supplied by CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. We look at private equity as a competitive threat to the IPO environment. So flows of money and capital formation is taking a different turn. And so we keep a close watch on all competitive threats. And we try to be as responsive and open-minded and innovative as possible. Of course, it's always more difficult when you run a large legacy exchange to adapt as quickly as a small exchange does. And we need to think in a more nimble and more fleet-footed way, and we need to execute much faster than we do. So we are working towards that, but I think we've got some work to do to improve our speed to market and our responsiveness. But we really have demonstrated that, particularly during the crisis. And I think we're getting better and better each day.
Now, anything that can help, you know, to move and be nimble, always, you know, always a great thing from that. And as we end off, Leila, you know, maybe just, you know, just some quick ones. The first one just being, just given everything that's going on, what's one thing that, you know, perhaps keeps you up at night versus one thing that you're actually happy about to say, you know, we are doing a great job on this front?
Madiwe, I think what keeps me awake at night right now, I sleep very well normally, but if something were to steal my sleep from me, it would be foreign flows. I am concerned about the disinvestment from South Africa, and I think as a country, we need to do more to put out a positive narrative and to start to create a coalition of the willing between public and private sector to try and crowd in more financial support and more inbound investment. In terms of what we're doing well is that as a country, I've been really impressed with the public-private partnership that has evolved through the crisis. And I've also been impressed with the innovation and the entrepreneurial thinking that we've seen coming out of the crisis. We've recently launched a project to bring to market a private placements market, which is a really new and fleet-footed, innovative approach. And this has really only come about as a result of engaging with our market participants. So as a general rule, I think the collaboration that we've seen through the crisis is really a point that we should all be very proud of in our country. And our resilience is very much in the DNA of South Africans. And we've fared particularly well through very challenging and very difficult times.
Perhaps for the benefit of those that might not fully understand the terminology, when we talk about private placements, you know, what are we talking about?
So basically, private placements, Madiwe, is slightly different to our public markets. When you list on the exchange as an IPO, there are very explicit listings requirements, onerous listings requirements. And in the private placements market, it would be more of an investor buyer beware. And there would be standardized terms and conditions, but the listing would not have to comply with a very detailed list of listings requirements. And so it's more private focused, and it is a hybrid between your public IPO environment and your venture capital or private equity type environment. And we're focusing in on the infrastructure and on the SME sectors.
Okay, I think that, you know, certainly helps to cement, you know, what all of that means. And I think very good, especially if capitalizing on, you know, I guess that SME / you know, private equity sort of business model. And then lastly, and this is, you know, yet another piece of terminology that's become quite popular in the last maybe year, 2 years, you know, especially in the United States. And that's the issue of SPACs or special special purpose acquisition companies, if I remember correctly, what that one stands for. You know, what do you make of them? I understand that at least on the JSC, a company like it should be Transaction. Is it Transaction Capital? That's a SPAC. You know, what do you make, you know, of SPACs? And do you think that a structure like that is something that could maybe help the JSC to attract more of the large growth tech companies, for example, because that's what a lot of SPACs are being used for in the United States?
Certainly, and SPACs have really taken off. Although that trend is starting to plateau, last year SPACs were exuberant in the US. The JSC's always offered SPACs. In fact, we offered SPACs before our US and UK counterparts did. What we are doing at the moment is to adjust our listings requirements for SPACs and align them more with the US to try and crowd in and attract a bit more liquidity and a bit more support. So the neighborhood does matter, and there is a boom in tech companies in the US, and so that country dynamic is also very much driving the speculation and the investment and investability into the SPAC market in the US. That said, we certainly are doing everything that we can to adjust our listings requirements to align with the US and to try and pick up on that rising trend.
So that's been us. We're talking to Leila Fourie, who is the Group Chief Executive Officer of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, just giving us some insight into the performance and, you know, current performance of the JSC at the moment within the context of, you know, Africa as a continent, as well as the rest of the emerging markets and the world as a whole. But she's, you know, very positive and saying that the JSC has managed to hold its own, you know, over this, you know, crisis period that we do find ourselves in, with the all share currently, you know, trading higher in line with other international exchanges at the moment, you know, sort of testament to the fact that, you know, there's a good deal flow happening at the moment. But she does, you know, air some concerns, especially around, you know, outflows, you know, of cash. And she's saying that, you know, we need to just do a little bit more to address the fundamentals economically that will then help to make the investment case of South Africa. And then in turn, the JSC as a way, as a conduit through which people invest in the country, you know, to increase all of those different factors. One of the most interesting things, that she does say is the fact that you know, they're constantly looking at the competitive landscape, and you know, something like the A2X, for example, it's not, you know, despite their size, they do see competition like that as something that, you know, helps to spur their own innovation, just so that they don't get left behind. Leila, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Madiwe. It was lovely to chat to you, and have a great day. Thank you.
This is Madiwe's Take.
Really great chatting to you, the person who is literally running the biggest exchange in the country and on the continent, and just hearing insights around what's happening behind the scenes. So it was really great just seeing and hearing how the JSC is performing. And one of the things I enjoy the most about the way Leila speaks is that she's quite frank, you know, about the actual state of things. Yes, she accepts that some things are going well, but she does accept and articulate the things that are not going so well, you know. So things, for example, like the outflows that she is talking about, you know, things like that, you know, that do get to her, you know. So, you know, it was great from that point of view. And I think that's definitely going to need to be one of the big things that is addressed, making South Africa a more attractive investment destination. destination, because as much as we're talking to the JSC at the moment, the JSC is simply a conduit through which people invest in the country. And if some of the fundamentals are not addressed or in a proper place, then the investability, you know, the people bothering to even come onto the JSC or to invest through the JSC becomes, you know, something else. You know, we have to address the fundamental issues, you know, on the ground, such as unemployment, the state of the economy, you know, driving investment in, you know, infrastructure, taking advantage of the resource booms, the tech companies, you know, that are booming at the moment. How do we attract them? Financial services, you know, doing well, all the different sectors that are doing well, and just make sure that all of that lends itself to the attractiveness of the country, that will hopefully engender even more confidence, you know, both from local and international investors. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.